In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
An older fella came into the bank once, walked up to my window with a very old styrofoam cooler. He opens it up and it was full of money, all $1 bills, bound together in string, in rotted, brittle rubber bands. There had to be several thousand $1 bills in there. He had been selling vegetables for decades, tomatoes, corn, squash, you name it. Never spent a dollar of the proceeds, just bundled up the money, put it in this styrofoam cooler, and stored it in an outdoor cellar. Not a basement, mind you, but an outdoor cellar. Interesting to see such old money that actually looked so good. There's series 1965, 1969, they appeared brand new. Until we started putting the bills into the currency counter. Clouds of powder billowed everywhere. The stench was unbearable. Decades of damp and powdery mildew blew out into my face. Countless bills were effectively glued together with mold. It was a toxic hazard. I'm glad to be here today. We couldn't count it for him. We had to ship it in sealed bags to the Federal Reserve to be decontaminated and for them to salvage what they could. 40 years underground will do that to your paper currency. Bury your money and it will grow toxic. Now today we hear in the church the parable of the talents. Master goes on a journey, gives one servant 5 talents. One got 2 talents. One got 1 talent. In English, talent has a nice layered meaning. When you think of a talent, what do you think of? Our abilities, our drive, our passions, even our commitments can all be summed up in that word talent. But in the gospel, in the parable today, a talent is a unit of money. Today's parable, while applicable to all kinds of aspects of life, has money as its face value. So today I want to offer a spirituality of money. Now don't worry, I'm not fundraising. It's not about budgets, and I promise I will not ask you to dig deeper. That's not what this is about. What I hope is to help us see this resource in a more godly light that will help you, that will help your soul, and potentially help the world around you. And just to sweeten the deal, I'm going to do it by telling a story. This is a true story that happened to a woman named Lynn Twist. I hope I can do the story justice in the retelling. I just heard this story this week. Lynn Twist was a fundraiser for the Hunger Project. She was a fundraiser in its earliest days, when it was just beginning, when it was a fledgling project, when every dollar mattered. It was a group dedicated to ending world hunger by sustainable means, by not only giving food, but by teaching how to grow and how to use soil. Lynn Twist was a young and energetic and idealistic fundraiser for this fledgling organization, the Hunger Project. There was a giant food corporation that had gotten into trouble with unethical and illegal practices. The FDA was after it. Their stocks were tanking. And they called Lynn Twist from the Hunger Project in for a breakfast meeting. So she flew to the Midwest all excited, took the elevator to the top of the tallest building, was ushered into the CEO's office. So here she was, this young, idealistic fundraiser in the office of the CEO of the world's largest food-producing corporation. When she walked in, there was like a barrier. His office felt cold, not temperature, but you know the feeling of a cold room. This giant, sterile desk. She couldn't see his face because he was backlit by giant windows. Sun was rising behind him. Still, she desperately believed in the work of the Hunger Project, and so she gave her spiel with great excitement. Without so much as a word, this faceless CEO opened a drawer in the giant desk, took out a check that was already printed out, slid it across this giant desk toward her, and dismissed her from the office. The check was for $50,000, and it made Lynn Twist sick. Here she had come all that way, excited for the cause of the Hunger Project, hoping to get this CEO excited. And the CEO didn't care about hunger. It's a food company, and they didn't care about hunger. The check was blood money because they were in the middle of a scandal. And that same night, Lynn Twist had a fundraiser at a Harlem church in New York City. She went into the basement where there were buckets catching drips from the ceiling. And this is in the basement, so you know the water's making its way down. There's 75 beautiful African-American people sitting patiently under bare fluorescent bulbs, and she could see every face. And while Lynn Twist spoke of the work of the Hunger Project, tears streamed down the eyes of all 75 listeners. And when Lynn finished, an elderly black woman named Gertrude stood up. She had on a classic maid uniform with a very thin, transparent plastic raincoat and a very elegant disposition. She said, "Ma'am, money is like water flowing through life. Some have a rushing river, some have barely a trickle. But no matter how much flows through your life, money is a carrier of your work, of your talent, of your commitment, and of your desires. And whatever we spend, and wherever we spend, money carries those desires with it, and it carries our commitments with it. And that's why," she said, "that's why we call it currency. The word comes from the word current. Money is designed to flow like water in a current and carry our commitments and our desires with it." And Gertrude went on, "When water is kept in one place too long, what happens to it? It grows stagnant. Algae fills it up. It gets toxic. But when water flows, it's clear and beautiful and brings life to the next person downstream. And my desire is to help the people you're helping." So Gertrude walked up and put $50 in small bills into this basket. And after Gertrude, everyone in that room stood up and brought what they could. Some $13.10, some $3, all in quarters. Tears flowing down many faces. When Lynn Twist got back to her hotel room, she put the $50,000 check on one side of the table and counted the $637.33 in small bills and change on the other. And she knew at that moment that God could do more with the $637.33 of people that were committed than the $50,000, because the $637.33 was a carrier of work and talent and commitment and desires, and it wasn't blood money. So she wrote a letter to the CEO of the food company and said, "When you are committed to the cause, when you really put your heart and soul into ending world hunger, when you actually care about children who are literally starving to death more than you care about covering your own scandals, we'll gladly accept a donation." And she returned that check. Gertrude was right. Money is a carrier of work and talent and commitment and desire, and it is designed to flow. And if you look up the Hunger Project, you can see what Gertrude's money began, that this company's money wasn't needed for. In our parable, the servants who made additional talents did so by putting those desires and those commitments into the current. It said they went out and traded with them. They moved that money into a place where God was pleased. And the servant who was condemned, he buried his money. He put it in the ground. He put it in this mildewed ground until it was toxic, until it was a stench. If you would like a spirituality of money, it's this: where you spend and where you collect reveals your commitments and desires. When water is kept in one place too long, algae grows and it gets stagnant. But when water flows out, it's clear and beautiful and brings life to others. Amen.
Amen.
But now it's time for Paul Harvey. You all, some of you probably don't have it. Maybe you all know who Paul Harvey is. Maybe your young'uns don't know who Paul Harvey is. The rest of the story. He was a radio personality that always tell a story. He'd come on at the top of the hour in news broadcasts and then tell a human interest story. And then they would go to commercial, and it would leave you hanging there. And then they go to commercial. And then it would have this cool twist or cool conclusion. So when he came back from commercial, he'd say, "And now this is Paul Harvey with the rest of the story." And then he'd tie up something really cool or a twist, a plot twist at the end. And they're fantastic. I don't know if they're available anywhere on YouTube or something. But 3 years go by. Three somewhat struggling but growing years for the Hunger Project go by. And Lynn Twist gets a letter from the CEO that she had sent the money back to. And it was a personal letter, and she opens it up, and he said, "Dear Lynn, you unhinged me. You rocked my world. You shook the very foundations of my life when you turned that money back in and the way you said it." He said, "I left the company shortly thereafter receiving your letter back, and I watched the Hunger Project. I read every magazine." This is before internet. "I read every article. I looked at your portfolios and whatnot, and can't believe what you accomplished with so little and how you did so much." And he said, "So, after watching you for 3 years, I want you to know that I now want to support you, but you have my personal commitment, my personal heart, and my absolute desire to help people who are hungry with no reservations and no strings attached." And he included a check for $250,000 of his own money. In the story, Lynn says, "I accepted that check."